Hey folks, this is Ben Greenfield, and the field of neuroacoustics is perhaps something that you're not familiar with or you haven't heard of before, but the fact is that sound is all around us, and it affects our health, the way we think, our physiology, and many other things that we're going to talk about today with Dr. Jeffrey Thompson. And Dr. Thompson has been in the healing field of medicine since 1980. He has done lots of research and work in the use of sound frequency to do everything from spinal and cranial adjustments to normalizing organ function to balancing the meridians in your body. And he really is the expert when it comes to this stuff. He has designed methods to actually use sound pulses to do things like train your brain and optimize your mind-body connection. So sound can be used for everything from stress reduction to enhancing sleep to relaxing to peak performance, and we'll be exploring all of that today with Dr. Thompson. So Dr. Thompson, thank you for coming on the call.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
So before we jump into, you know, kind of how sounds and frequencies affect human physiology, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and what exactly it is that, you know, that you do?
Well, my work researching sound has gone through a lot of different evolutions, but presently the work that I'm doing is three kind of parallel avenues of the use of sound. One is this idea of physical resonance, that we can resonate different parts of your body with different specific sound frequencies. It's, you know, the principle of sympathetic resonance. Why does a wine glass vibrate when you sing the right note? And actually, there's a whole science behind that phenomenon. It's called the science of coupled oscillators. When one thing oscillates or vibrates, it causes any other material that has a fundamental resonance that's an octave of that or the same frequency or a harmonic of that will also vibrate. In other words, if I got this wine glass, I want to sing a certain note and make it vibrate. How I know what note to sing is by pinging the glass. I hit it with my finger and I hear a little note. I pitch my voice to the same note, and that will. And if I sing it loud enough, it will start to sympathetically resonate with my vocal cords. You know, the opera singer singing the note. And, but if I sing any octave of that note, it'll also vibrate. That's called octave resonance, and an octave is double the frequency, or one half the frequency, or one half of that, or one half of that, or double that, or double that. Kind of like the way a piano is set up on a piano keyboard, or any harmonic third or fifth or seventh or ninth, any harmonic of that note will make it vibrate. So
Gotcha. This
principle of direct resonance, octave resonance, harmonic resonance is how the body is set up. All the different pieces and particles of the body, the organs and the glands and the skeletal structure, and all the different parts of the body are different densities of materials. You know, your liver is a different density than your kidney, and your fifth lumbar vertebra is a different size, density, and shape than the ninth thoracic, on and on. So you should be able to treat each of these body structures like a wine glass and do some testing to find out what's the fundamental resonant frequency that makes that particular body part respond. And when you do this with the body, the body responds by normalizing its function because you're stimulating the cells in a very specific way.
Is this idea that our body operates based on specific frequencies, is that kind of rooted in science?
Well, that's not. It is rooted in science, and that's not exactly the right way to put it. We can influence the body's functioning by resonating it with sound frequencies. The body is set up in such a way that all the systems are intertwined together, and there's no real way where one body system or one body organ or one body gland or one body part can function independently from all the other parts, because they're all intimately webbed and networked together. So there's no possibility of having a problem with my back without having a problem with a bunch of other things that are associated, or compensations of that, or, you know, there is the emotional low back. There's, I can't tell you how many people I've seen over the years who come in with a chronic shoulder problem, and their real problem is they're shouldering too much responsibility. I know that sounds funny, but it manifests as a metaphor in their physical body. A mental state can manifest as a physical symptom. An emotional state can manifest as a physical symptom. Or you could get hit by a truck and have a real physical symptom. Mm-hmm. It's all networked together. So it also means that if I injure my back physically, I begin to have emotional repercussions for that, because it's influencing my life and how I can do things. And I start to feel bad about how bad I feel, and now I've got a vicious feedback cycle, you know?
Now, when we get down to this on kind of like a physiological or a, excuse me, or a cellular level, how exactly are sounds or frequencies, you know, music, the type of things that we're exposed to when it comes to, you know, I guess, you know, vibrations or whatever you would call it, how does that actually affect our biology, you know, if we're looking at this from like a physiological or a cellular perspective?
That's a good question. First of all, let's distinguish between the fact that we're talking right now about the influence of sound frequencies and not music. Music is now another thing. Now we have a number of sound frequencies that are mathematically related to each other as harmonics that form a chord. And a major chord or a minor chord or an augmented seventh chord have an emotional interpretation. So really, music is the language of the emotions. So we can affect emotional states by what kind of music we compose. But let's back off from that and pick that music apart into its frequencies. And now we have a specific frequency that's maybe accurate to a couple of decimal points. So we're no longer on a keyboard anymore. And well, with the equipment that I've got, I can tune between, let's say, C and C sharp by 100 steps with a digital readout. So now we've got a frequency that could be interpreted as C sharp plus 23 cents, 23 divisions out of 100 are sharp. And that's a certain frequency, you know, that's 225.36 cycles per second or something. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about when we're dealing with the body. We're going to have a frequency that's highly specific that causes a physical response that we can measure.
And how do you kind of find out what frequencies are associated with what physical response?
Let's take it back to some of my first experiments. My first experiments were to see if I could make a chiropractic adjustment with a sound wave, with a sound frequency tuned very specifically. So let's take your fifth lumbar vertebra is rotated to the right too far, and the right facet joint is pinched. The right joint is pinched, and it's causing pain, and the muscles tighten up to immobilize it. Now you've got hyper-tight muscles in your low back that also hurt. And so I'm going to monitor a stress response in your body. We know that when your body has a stress response, a number of different things happen. Heart rate, respiration, galvanic skin response, muscle tension, a bunch of different things take place that we can measure. And I'm going to start pushing with my finger on your fifth lumbar vertebra in various directions, lines of drive. And when I push the vertebra in the direction that it's rotated too far, you know, I'm making a bad situation worse. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's rotated to the right and the right joint is pinched. If I push it more to the right, the joint pinches more, fires new signals to the brain. The brain says, ooh, a bad situation just got worse, and it has an alarm response that we can measure. Once the alarm response is in place and we've confirmed that we have just identified a right facet joint that's compressed, because we're compressing it more and making this stress response, we're in a position to start choosing different sounds and exploring different sounds and micro-tuning those sounds into the body until we find a sound wave that neutralizes the stress response while we're still pushing on the vertebra. Mm-hmm. So while we've still got the stress response in place, we can turn that response off in the presence of the correct frequency that resonates the vertebra and fixes it. So we're stressing a thing out in the body and giving it what it needs to fix it at the same time, and the two of them cancel each other out.
So when you resonate a vertebra, are you talking about like the actual frequency of sound that it's exposed to, like physically moving it back and forth into a specific position?
Yes. So now what we've got is the vertebra is the wine glass, and the vertebra is now in a state of resonance. It's floating in a state of vibration in relation to the vertebra below and above, which are tuned to different frequencies. So if I have a dozen wine glasses, different sizes and shapes, and I pick up one wine glass and I ping it and I sing that note, and I sing it loud enough that the wine glass shatters, none of the other wine glasses on the table are going to vibrate because it's not their tune. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not their tone. So unless they are tuned to an octave or a harmonic of the glass you picked up, right? So that means that now when I put this vibrational frequency into the fifth lumbar, it's in a state of resonance. It's in motion. And the facet joint is jammed together. And you have to understand a little bit about what that means. This idea of misalignment is actually incorrect. What happens is the joint rotates to the right a bit too hard and too fast, and the perfectly molded surfaces of the joint, you know, covered with hyaline membrane, the perfectly smooth surface, and synovial fluid, the perfect lubricating fluid, they lock together with a vacuum lock. It's like two wet panes of glass stuck together, right? You can't pull them apart because of this capillary suction phenomenon, but you can slide them off each other.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yep.
So that's what this idea of the bone being subluxated or stuck. It's really the joint surfaces compressed together and caused a vacuum lock. And in industry, you can release a vacuum lock between two surfaces by vibrating one of the two halves of what's locked.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what's happening. We're resonating the fifth lumbar vertebra. It's going into a state of resonance, and its half of the joint is now vibrating, and the vacuum lock is broken.
Okay.
And that's how the adjustment is made.
Gotcha.
Now, but let's take it one step further. Let's say that we've got a disc problem. The fifth lumbar disc is the problem. And we have injury to the cellular matrix of what the disc is made of, you know, mineral matrix. And the disc is made of cells. And now the cells are going to be the wine glass.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to test to find out what's the frequency for the cells that make up the disc. And when we vibrate the cells with a certain frequency, we're boosting those cells to their highest possible energy state, just like you would do with the wine glass. If you sing louder and louder and louder, pretty soon the glass can't contain the energy of its own structure, and it explodes. It shatters. We're not going to shatter the disc. We're going to bring the cells up to their highest energy state, and that's biologically a healing state at a cell level. When a cell goes into a healing state, it increases its metabolism, its intake of food, and its expelling of waste and rebuilding of tissue. So we're pushing the cells into a higher energy state than they normally could go when they're in their healing state. So we're kind of pushing the envelope of a super healing state at a cell level so we can speed up rehab or injury repair.
Okay.
Particularly with athletics.
Gotcha.
That's where it's really shined a lot.
Now, in terms of cellular repair and recovery with athletics, how would something like this actually work in terms of using using changing the actual frequency with which a cell is resonating to help it to repair or recover faster? And how's that kind of working on the physiological or the anatomical level?
That was the basis for me of eventually realizing that I needed a delivery system of low frequency sounds into the body. It's these low frequency sounds, 500 hertz and below, that cause this phenomenon. That's because hearing is separate from vibration sense in your body. Vibration sense is four different skin sensors that are buried in different levels of your skin that communicate to the posterior spinal cord into an area in the brainstem where there's special neurons for processing vibration sense. So even if you're deaf, you can still feel music. You know, when Beethoven went deaf, one of the greatest composers went deaf, and he composed three symphonies after he went deaf. And he heard those symphonies by sawing the legs off his grand piano and laying on the floor with his head on the piano and hearing the vibrations through bone conduction of his skull.
Hmm.
So I invented a sound table with big low-frequency transducers built into it. So you're basically laying on top of a sounding board that's upholstered. And the sounding board has these big low-frequency transducers attached to it into the equipment. So the sound waves come right into your body.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because sound travels, you know, mostly we hear because sound travels through the air.
Right.
Sound is a mechanical energy wave. So if we strip off the name sound, what we're looking at is a form of energy that moves through a medium. It's a mechanical energy wave that moves through a medium. So it's moving through air molecules. It's bumping them against each other like billiard balls. You know, one billiard ball hits another one and it stops, and the other one starts moving and hits another one. And the second one stops, and the third one keeps moving, and that's how sound waves move through the air molecules. Well, sound travels through water five times better than air because the molecules are more densely packed, and sound travels through a solid five times better than water because molecules are more densely packed. So in the physical body, it's, you know, 70% water and 30% minerals. It's skeletal structure and fluids, perfect medium for transmitting sound. So if I've got you laying on top of a sounding board, I've got sound transmission into your body straight through a solid, 25 times more effective than if I was trying to get the same vibration in your body through the air, through big speakers.
Hmm.
So it's a highly efficient way of getting sound waves into your body without a lot of noise in the room.
Gotcha.
And since I can hook you up and measure what's happening in your body, and I can precisely control the sound frequencies coming through this sound table, you know, accurate to 100 divisions of sharp or flat, or 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 with a computer, we can very precisely influence various parts of the body to do things.
Now, what about if people don't have access to a table like that? What are ways that people can actually monitor or use, you know, something that would actually allow them to ensure that their cells are resonating at a good frequency, or, you know, help to say, like, repair their cells or do something of that nature by using some kind of frequency?
There's, you know, all of this work has been done over the years in my clinic with patients. So I hook people up and I see what happens, and I make a custom CD for them to use to take home. And they don't have a sound table at home, but many people have a home stereo system with some big speakers. So you can put the speakers against your body. It's not as efficient, but, you know, it's all a matter of degrees. So there's a second, well, that's for the physical resonance and response in the body, you really have to have something that can deliver low-frequency sounds into your body. So you got a home stereo system with big speakers, then you got to put them against your body. There's a second parallel avenue of how we use sound, and that's got to do with the idea of brainwave entrainment, that you're going to train your brainwaves and change your state of consciousness with sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different principle.
Is that why, like, monks hum when they're meditating?
I think when monks are humming when they're meditating, that's two things. One is you're resonating your physical body with your own vocal cords.
Mm.
And the traditionally, in the way past, you know, you go to the master who sees it all, this vibration, and he sees that you are a very specific vibrational signature in the universe and sings you your fundamental frequency. You know, you're the wine glass, and he tells you what that frequency is, and you sing it back until you memorize it, and then you go in your cave and you chant that tone, that tonality, into your own body and resonate yourself to your own core. So it's the fact that you're resonating with a very specific frequency that you're singing, and it's resonating your body with your vocal cords.
Okay.
That's more like the Gyoto monks. You know, if you've heard them, they're the ones who sing the lowest note that the vocal cords can resonate at.
Right.
So they're sitting around in a big circle and bathing themselves in a sea of vibration. If you have two or more people singing the same note, if one person slightly varies the tuning of their voice, so they're slightly out of tune, you create a phenomenon called a binaural beat, where these two notes are slightly out of tune, but not enough for your brain to recognize there's two notes yet. You know, they have to be out of tune by a certain amount before your brain can pick up there's two notes.
Mm-hmm.
Up to that point, the brain will hear one note, and within that note will be this pulsing sound, which is the phase modulation, the difference between the two notes. So that's called a critical bandwidth in science. If two notes are within the critical bandwidth of tuning, the brain can't tell there's two. It'll hear one with a pulsing in it. So let's say that one tone is 100 cycles per second. We have a scientific tone coming out of our left speaker, 100 hertz. And out of the right speaker is 105 hertz. So there's a 5 cycle a second difference between these two tones. It's not enough of tuning between each other first to tell those two notes. So we'll hear a 5 cycle a second pulse. Just so happens that 5 cycle a second is a theta brainwave frequency pulse. And it will cause my bile clocks in the center of my brain to want to change allegiance and time my bile clocks to this new pulse, this sound pulse, this artificial pulse that we've just created. So within a few minutes, my brain waves will start to change from wherever they are to try to match the speed of this 5 cycle a second pulse.
Mm-hmm.
And change my consciousness in the meantime. I think the earliest use of that was probably shamanic drumming practices, where we're pounding a drum, and a classical recording of a shamanic drum is about 4.5 cycles per second. Very deep, theta, dream zone of the brain. It's where my brain goes when I'm dreaming at night. That means that we can pound a drum for a certain amount of time. My brain waves will change from a rapid beta of around, you know, 15 to 18 hertz and slow itself down more and more and more and pass through alpha and then pass into theta and then go into a dream
mm-hmm.
without going to sleep first. Classic definition of a shamanic trance state.
Yeah.
And we can do that with science. Now we can build these pulses into musical soundtracks and cause your brainwaves to do all kinds of interesting things, particularly the kind of things that we would see on EEG that would be the kind of states that we want.
Mm-hmm.
for instance, in athletics, the flow state. Everybody talks about the flow state, you know. You get into this perfect kind of zone where you just can't do anything wrong. Everything is flowing. And your brain waves do something very specific when that happens, and your nervous system does something very specific when that happens. And that means that we can use this sound technique of brainwave entrainment to bring your brainwaves to that particular state. And every time you listen to the soundtrack and your brainwaves go there, we're now in a gym for your brain, because everything in the body works the same way. If mm-hmm. you use something over and over and over again, it gets stronger to do that particular use. So if we can use sound frequencies to entrain your brainwaves to the zone, and we do it on a daily basis, your ability to go to the zone gets strengthened. Hmm. Or to go into a certain state of meditation, or to go into a certain state of relaxation.
Gotcha.
Or to access your creativity, or your learning, or your memory. All kinds of different states that you could identify have an EEG signature.
So it sounds to me, when we're talking about using sound technology, there's kind of like two different primary areas that, for example, listening to a CD or using some kind of a sound frequency vibration could be used for. Number one, to heal the body, like you talked about in terms of vibratory therapy for the spine or for the cells. And number
yes.
two, to actually like change your state of consciousness. Am I correct?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Those are two different uses. Now you can, the magic starts to happen when you combine those two together. Because remember I said that there's this law of octaves for the wine glass. If I ping the wine glass and let's say it resonates at 100 hertz. I ping the glass, it's 100 hertz, and I sing 100 hertz. That's direct resonance. If I sing an octave, 200 hertz, 400 hertz, 800 hertz, or 50 hertz or 25 hertz, right, it'll still
right.
vibrate. But let's follow that through. Let's take our calculator and go 100 hertz, one octave lower is 50 hertz, one octave lower is 25 hertz. One octave lower is what, 12.5 hertz, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not in hearing anymore because sound waves, hearing is 20 to 20,000 hertz. And I've just identified an octave of the wine glass that's below hearing at 12.5 hertz. And half of that is 6-point-something-something hertz, and half of that is 3-point-something-something hertz. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly octaves of the wine glass. And in this case, the wine glass is my fifth lumbar vertebra.
Okay.
And
gotcha.
So the fifth lumbar vertebra is 100 hertz. And I'm going to use my calculator to identify a lower octave below hearing that is a brainwave frequency now. 12.5 hertz is a beta brain frequency state of consciousness. One half of that is 6.25 hertz, and that's a theta brainwave state of consciousness. And an octave below that, and an octave below that, eventually I'm going to have a delta brainwave state, which is where my brain goes at night when I sleep to heal myself physically.
Mm-hmm.
And if I use these binaural beats and set them to the delta brainwave octave of the frequency for the fifth lumbar, I've picked the lock of a neural program where my brain already goes to heal my fifth lumbar vertebra at night when I'm asleep. So the state of consciousness I'm choosing is highly specific, and it's related specifically to that body part.
Mm-hmm.
So now when the sound waves, these low sound waves, are coming through the sound table into my fifth lumbar, within those sounds are these sound pulses that are pulsing at a delta brainwave octave of the note for the fifth lumbar, and the two of these things now align together. I'm directing my state of consciousness itself of my physical body to that body part.
Gotcha.
I know this sounds like Star Trek, but this is all clearly measurable physiological phenomena.
Well, I think anyone listening in has felt before that certain frequencies, certain sounds, whether it be nails scratching on a blackboard or you know, maybe even you know, some form of a techno music or maybe trance type of music that seemed to bring them into a different state of mind, has experienced this on some level. It's just that you're kind of like identifying and targeting the actual frequencies and sounds and using them in a little bit more precise manner, right?
Right. So we're bringing the phenomenon of energy waves moving through a medium that we call sound. You know, when I'm on that sound table and these energy waves within a certain frequency range that we call sound are coming through the sound table into my body, I am infusing large amounts of energy directly into my body.
Now,
we kind of forget the fact because we've labeled it sound. It's energy that's moving into my body that's within a certain frequency range between 20 and 20,000 hertz. The fact that we have a name for it called sound doesn't let it off the hook of the fact that it's energy causing an effect in my body.
Gotcha. So I know that a lot of people that listen to this stuff, you know, it's one thing to hear it and another to experience it. Now, if someone wanted to try to use neuroacoustics somehow and feel this for themselves, is there somewhere where you can point people, like an MP3 they could download and put in their speakers and listen as they're going to bed or preparing for, you know, a race or a game or competition or some type of a CD that someone could use? I mean, do you have recommendations in terms of places that people can go if somebody just wants to kind of take this concept and figure out how to use it from a practical standpoint?
Yes. I've taken the principles that I've worked with patients and I've built them into generic soundtracks that are on the market. So over time, you know, over 20 years, you see thousands of people, and pretty soon you've got a bell curve.
Gotcha.
You know, what kind of sounds work on large groups of people the best. So those CDs are, you know, Barnes & Noble and Borders and places like that. And
What are they called?
But the thing is that nobody knows what to use.
Okay.
So because there's so many soundtracks, there's 60 soundtracks in various categories. So the best thing is to go to the website, which has a kind of a guide. If you're interested in meditation, choose one of these. If you're interested in peak performance, choose one of these.
Okay, I see. You've got a sound section over at neuroacoustic.com.
Right, so it's neuroacoustic.com.
Got it. Okay. So you can basically, are these CDs, or are these, can you get these as MP3s as well?
They're CDs and they're MP3s, but they're not available on my website.
Okay.
Those are like Amazon and things like that. But
okay.
There is kind of a strange thing with MP3s that I've noticed with patients that, you know, I'd make this custom CD based on my measurements and the patient would take it home, and then I'm seeing them every week and I'm watching the progress. And I was noticing that patients were coming back and their progress was not even not going anywhere, but it was reversing. And they had taken my CD and they had ripped it down to a MP3 and put it on their iPod, and that's what they were using. And something about that was changing what was going on. So, the sounds that they remove from MP3 to compress it, you know, you're compressing the sound recording by one-third. So two-thirds of the recording sounds are being taken out and thrown away somehow, by some algorithm or something. I'm not sure what it is. And that's fine for music, but for medical sounds, it seems to be causing some problem with some people. So that's why I don't offer MP3s downloads on my site. I use something called FLAC, F-L-A-C. It's another compression format that does not remove any sounds from the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I'm on your store right now where you've got a lot of these CDs listed. It's interesting because, you know, like you've got one here, for example, I'm a writer. I see one here called the Creative Mind System.
Yes.
And it's basically at a certain frequency you'd play while you're working, brainstorming, problem solving, or involved in any artistic endeavor. So you've basically, which brainwave are you trying to stimulate with something like that?
That's Theta. And that CD set was based on work I did with Mattel and Cisco and Nike.
So you wouldn't want to listen to that, like, before you're going out to run on the track, right?
There's no reason why you couldn't do that. People who run on the track and people who jog, their mind is set free. It's a meditation, mm-hmm. you know? You're running, and your body goes through this automated procedure. As soon as you've taken two steps forward, you're already running the running program. You're not even involved. mm-hmm. Your mind is free.
But the alpha brainwaves
are the waves. And that's where people come up with a lot of their best creative ideas during that period of time. So
yeah, it's a good point. The alpha waves are more of the waves that are associated with kind of being in the zone, though, right, that you mentioned?
Yes.
Okay.
The zone is kind of a place between it's kind of a border zone.
If I were going to choose a CD to listen to before I go and do a triathlon or a marathon, what type of CD would you recommend?
I think the Alpha one is the better one.
The Alpha Relaxation.
Yeah, or even if you're on the track and you're running and you've got a little earbuds on, you're listening to something. That's a good mm-hmm. one.
Okay. Gotcha. So how about, and this is something I've heard of before, using like discs or wearing things on your body that help these frequencies to be magnified. Is that something that has any relevance here in terms of like using things to actually, you know, magnify like your, you know, one thing that I'm thinking of, for example, is the electrical frequencies that your heart is producing, or if you're in an alpha brainwave state, trying to figure out how to amplify those frequencies. Is that something that has any credence to it?
Well, there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
and that's a tough question. It's because there's an 80-20 rule out there. When I was going to school, there's an 80-20 rule with the physical body. 80% of your body is supporting tissue, blood and bone and lymph, and 20% is governing tissue, brain, nervous system, spinal nerve roots. 2% of that is calling the shots. You see the same thing in society. 20%, 80% of the people are, quote, supporting tissue. They go to work, they make babies, they eat food, they buy things. 20% is governing tissue. That's governments and multinational corporations. And 2% of them control everything. The Illuminati, who knows what.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in the marketplace, we see the same thing. 80% of the products you buy are produced by entrepreneurs. And that normally doesn't matter except when you're dealing with health products.
Right.
So in this case, when we've got all kinds of CDs out there, binaural beat CDs and brain entrainment CDs and the medallion things that you're talking about, there's dozens of companies producing those. 80%, you can pretty much be sure, entrepreneurs who don't know what they're doing are putting something together to make a buck.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to put it that way, but, you know, 20% are the people who are researching a new phenomenon, who have people hooked up and they're watching monitors and they're actually doing it. They're seeing what's going on, and their products are a result of that research. That 20% are following the cue of the 2% of the real innovators in the world who have come up with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes up with the idea, they publish a paper, and then all the scientists jump on it and try to reproduce it, and then it spins out from there.
Gotcha.
So when you ask me about the medallions, 80% of them probably junk.
Gotcha.
20% are the real thing. 2% are the people who've really invented the idea.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So,
interesting.
And it's a tough one to know. I mean, as a consumer, you don't have the faintest idea who's telling the truth and who's an entrepreneur, you know?
Right.
So you have to kind of research. I'd say, for instance, the sound, you know, there's a bunch of sound tables and sound chairs out there. And the best sound chair and the best sound table in the world is only as good as the sound playing through it. So the question is, who composed the soundtrack that's playing through it, and what do they know? Mm-hmm. Look them up, research them, see if they're on the up and see if they're, you know, a clinical researcher or a physician or somebody who's got some track record of knowing what they're doing.
I have one other question for you. I know we're kind of running short on time, but does this type of philosophy of how sound and frequency affects your cells or your bones kind of influence our music choices? If we work out, say, and we're listening to music, does or do certain types of music have the potential to either kind of hold you back or decrease your performance or decrease your recovery? Or is that a completely different realm?
Well, the answer is yes and yes. They do have the possibility of affecting you. And it is a bit of a different realm. There's a certain type of... I'm a composer and a musician, so I create these soundtracks for the CDs that I put out. And when I'm creating a soundtrack to put you into an alpha state, there's a certain type of music that is associated with that state. So I have to compose the music to put you in that state all by itself. And then I'm going to add these binaural beats to it to spike it and make it more powerful. And the more things you add in a precisely aligned together, the more powerful the whole thing gets. So if I'm going to take you into a theta dream state, then that would be a different kind of music than an alpha state. There would be more dreamy kind of vast and mysterious. If I was going to put you into a delta state, it would be a whole different type of music. So yes, the music that you choose has a huge influence on your emotional state. So many people who are in an exercise program are choosing a rapid upbeat, you know, high beta music to spizz themselves up and get their body filled with energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So, but if I'm a long distance runner and I've got earbuds and I'm listening to a soundtrack, that's not necessarily what I want to use because I have to pace myself.
Right.
I don't want to burn all my energy off in the first 2 minutes. So I'm going to choose a soundtrack that's going to hold me for the long term, for the next 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more of an alpha state because that's where I go. I go into this zone, you know. And that is kind of one other thing here. And that work with athletics is all about the connection of how the brain and the body synchronize and work together. This idea of synchronizing the clock systems at various levels in the body is what separates the men from the boys in a photo finish. Hmm. When you're talking about 1 second or a fraction of a second in a photo finish in a long race, the person who's got the more tuned system is going to win. And that's part of what we do with athletics is tune the brain-body interface. Like a Ferrari, you're tuning its engines to a fine degree that hasn't been possible before because we never had the type of monitoring equipment that we'd hook you up to.
Mm-hmm.
To see how the brain and when it fires signals to the muscles and receives signals back from them that tells the brain that they just did what it told them to do, that network has to be tuned. And if nobody's tuning that network, then you've got lag. And if you've got lag, you lose.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. But and then you've got tuning between opposite pair muscle groups, antagonist muscle groups. If you have an out-of-tuneness between your quadricep muscle on the front of your thigh and your hamstring on the back, when one of those contracts, the other has to let go, and they have to do it in tune. And if it's out of tune, you get a pulled hamstring. That's mm-hmm. where that comes from. There's no way that you can pull a hamstring or tear a muscle if the system's tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a top-level athlete, there's no way that should happen.
Right.
Hamstring is hyper tight because the quadriceps are slightly weak, and you go to kick a football and you tear your hamstring. because it didn't release completely, because it was out of tune.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is possible to do with these sound tables, sound chairs. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the more I've looked into it, the more it makes sense to me. I've always, you know, I've known about ultrasound and using photon frequencies from light, using ultrasound frequencies for muscle to improve blood flow and heat. And, you know,
all vibrational
having grown up, you know, playing the violin for 13 years, I understand frequencies.
Yeah, you get
and kind of how understand. They affect you. And I just want to, I'm trying now to kind of put this message together and bring it to some other folks, you know, hopefully people who've made it this far in and are listening in. This is something that I'm going to continue to explore here at bengreenfieldfitness.com. And I'll bring more word to you about this as we go through, but this is really a perfect place to start. I'm going to put a link over to Dr. Jeffrey Thompson's website. You know, like just pick up a CD and listen to it. You know, grab like the Alpha Wave Production CD. I'm not affiliated with Dr. Thompson. I don't make money when people buy the CDs or anything like that. I just think this is something that people need to be exposed to, is how to use sound and sound waves and frequencies to help your body be in the right place, whether it be your brainwave frequency or the ability of your cells to be resonating at the correct frequencies. So it's cool stuff. It's not explored often enough, I don't think, in the realm of human health and human performance. But Dr. Thompson, thanks for explaining it a little bit to us.
Thanks, Ben. And you play the violin, a bodybuilder who plays the violin. This is great.
I actually have
you tune the strings, you understand what I'm talking about with binaural beats.
Exactly. I've since switched to guitar, but
still, it's the same thing. You're tuning strings, yep. You're getting those strings slightly out of tune, you hear the pulse, you get what, you know.
Yep, exactly.
It's cool. So. Cool.
All right. Well,
great talking with you.
Yep, that was fantastic. And folks, once again, this is Dr. Jeffrey Thompson from neuroacoustics.com that we've had on the call today. Thanks, Dr. Thompson.
Thanks.